We're recording. Romans 6:23. Just the one verse, which is a good Easter verse and very concise and says a lot. Verse 23, Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, if we had a religion, we'd make up good things. We would make up that we could live after we die. We'd make up that we would go to heaven. We would make up that our sins would be atoned for. We would make up that there were things after we died that would be good. But Lord, made up religion is not what we're after. Lord, we are able to have a true religion because, Lord Jesus, you are the Son of God, our Savior, and rose from the dead. May you be honored by our gathering and our this verse. May you, Lord, you bless it to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I would say that there is a gargantuan effort being made right now against the coronavirus. When word first came about the coronavirus, it's called all sorts of different things, COVID, Wuhan. When word first came out, there was no toilet paper in America that was safe. People pursued toilet paper and other things. A couple of brothers traveled through several states to buy 18,000 bottles of hand sanitizer so they could price gouge it on Amazon and eBay, which got shut down. Some states are arresting people for walking or being in public for what they consider to be non-essential matters. The governor of Kentucky attempted to, I think it's been stopped maybe. The governor of Kentucky has threatened Easter churchgoers with recording their license plates so you can show up and get them later. In many places, unless you're going to have an abortion, you got to stay home. Abortion has been considered to be an essential thing. In New York and New Jersey, it's now required to have a mask in public. Our group limitations have gone from 200 to 100 to 50 to 10. And I think the latest count is that the most people that can get together in one place at one time is -2. They don't want anybody to be near anybody else. A $20 trillion economy has been shut down. I think that's the value. Travel's been halted. Borders have been closed. Probably should have happened a long time ago. We now do drive-through and takeout service. We've learned a new phrase, self-quarantine. Cindy showed me a video yesterday of a policeman chasing a jogger on the beach, trying to give him a ticket, but he never could catch him. Our governing authorities, some of them have been very petty. They've been showing themselves to be very petty, but they're bending over backwards to try to deal with the coronavirus. And this has made the world literally stand still. And this is a brief virus. It won't last forever. It will pass on. Not everybody has it. Not everybody's going to get it. It's very time sensitive. Viruses come at certain points and go. So it's not that they shouldn't take care. That's not it at all. They should take care and watch out. But what strikes me is much more of a deal is all the attention that is being given to that more than to sin. Jesus said to the Jews that they could discern the signs, red sky at night, red sky at morning, but they didn't discern the danger they were in because of their sin. So physical death, physical health, all that is placed above spiritual health and spiritual death. A lot of people are not going to be touched by coronavirus. And a lot of the people who are going to get over it, and they're going to go on with their lives as though nothing happened. They're not going to be thankful. They're not going to be beholden to the Lord. Now, they're going to continue on with their lives. But the Bible tells us we should be more concerned about our soul. Jesus said, labor not for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to everlasting life. Does that mean we're not supposed to eat? Of course we're to eat. But it means in comparison, if you're going to eat physical food, you better more eat spiritual food that endures to everlasting life. And what if you survive and I survive this virus and emerge with the same virus we had going in, the disease of sin? This virus will be defeated. Human hands will deal with it. The human immune system is really a marvel. A lot of people are showing up in test centers that they've already had the virus and didn't really know it, and they've generated antibodies against it. The body is an amazing thing, but it is not a universal problem, this virus. Sin is a universal problem. Everybody has the disease of sin. In comparison, very few have the coronavirus. 3.5 years ago, I'm sure you all remember, I preached this verse at Christmas, because I focused on the gift. But now I want to focus on the death and the eternal life aspect of this verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I want to speak about how many people are concerned more about not dying to a virus than about dying in sin. First of all, sin and sickness. The Bible, in speaking of death and in speaking of the disease of sin, uses disease, bodily disease, to tell us what it's like. Because we can feel that. We can feel when we're sick. When we have a cold or a flu or some more serious matter, we feel that. Sin is a silent killer. You don't feel it. It's like some of these things you go along with and never know you have them until it's too late. Well, the Bible says Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He did not come to give us wealth and give us health. He came to seek and to save the lost. But in the process of that, he healed people's bodies. And he raised people from the dead, because he was showing his power to beat the bigger thing, the disease of sin. And he preached the gospel. You see, when you heal people, you don't have to preach the gospel to them. They're healed. He preached the gospel, and so healing was a proof that he could fix sin. Isaiah prophesied, by his stripes we are healed. Brenda, I think, mentioned that yesterday. It's a good quote from Isaiah. By his stripes we are healed. Now, a lot of people take that to mean physical healing. But if you look at Isaiah chapter 1, what's the disease that Isaiah speaks of? What is it that Isaiah heals? What is it that Jesus heals? Isaiah 1, verse 4 says this. This is Isaiah's opening chapter. Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity. See that? They're not weighed down with a virus. They're weighed down with iniquity. Offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from him. That's sin. Where will you be stricken again? Are you, as you continue in your rebellion, the whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint from the sole of the foot, even to the head. There is nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged, nor softened with oil. He says there are consequences to their sin, but that the sin is deeper than that. The disease of sin is a spiritual matter. The bodily healing that is needed by someone who is sick is the least of our difficulties. You'll be surprised when I tell you this, that when I play golf, sometimes the rare moment every few years, I would actually hit the ball into the woods, into the rough, into the creek. And suppose I did that, and sometimes we would do that, and we would go up to the creek, and there would be a snake in the creek. Suppose I go into the woods, and my ball is laying there in the woods, and a snake has wrapped itself around the ball, with a little rattle on the back of it, shaking a rattle at me. Now, I was upset about knocking the ball in the woods. But now, that's not the primary thing. The primary thing is there's a rattlesnake there. Well, our sicknesses that we have, which is part of the fall, that's important to us. But when you consider the bigger thing of the disease of sin, then it becomes a lesser important thing. And so this tragic pandemic, it's bad. It demands attention. And something needs to be done with China, I think, after all this is done. But medicine's going to work. And vaccines are going to work. And people are going to take care and stay away from other people. And they're going to alleviate a lot of this. But the sickness of sin is universal. And it has no treatment among men. There's nobody who can get in the laboratory and fix sin. It always ends in death. Coronavirus, some will die. Hopefully not many, not many more. But everybody dies with the disease of sin. No one can survive. So let me ask this, where's the panic? Where are the people running around saying, what is the government going to do to get the gospel out to us so we can know what to do to be saved? Why isn't there a people being upset to know how to get rid of their sinful disease? You never hear that. It says here in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The wages of the coronavirus is not necessarily death. But the wages of sin is always death. So why aren't we upset about that? Why aren't people saying, well, I'm upset about the coronavirus, but I really need to be more upset about this. I need to get this settled more. A person who knows the Lord can die of the coronavirus and be just fine. A person who is cured of the coronavirus and doesn't know the Lord is still very sick. You wonder, it says the wages of sin is death. That means that's what sin, the cost of sin is. We have to pay for sin with our death, spiritual death, separation from God. We can't afford that. People ask, why don't I have all the things I want from Best Buy? Is that something you wonder about? Why don't I have everything that I've looked at Best Buy that I wouldn't mind having? Why don't I have that? It's a very simple reason for that. I can't afford it. Jed Clampett could get some of that, but I cannot. I can't afford it. The wages of the products at Best Buy are more than I can afford. The wages of sin is death. It's more than we can afford without dying. It takes our life. It's a sin against God. It's death from God. It's not just a physical thing. It's an eternal death. And so God requires of rebels to die. And that's the end. Paul is speaking not here of a temporal thing like a virus, but of an eternal, everlasting disease that every person carries. Why aren't people raiding the stores to get Bibles instead of toilet paper? To get Bibles instead of hand sanitizer or in addition to it? Why is it that the Bible and the gospel are not being sought? Why is there no mad rush to churches as soon as they open? We'll see. Why is there not that? The wages of sin is death. Sin is the spiritual disease we have because we are in alienation from God. Secondly, death and eternal life. These are the opposite concepts. It says in this verse, wages of sin is death, but then you get to the free gift of God is eternal life. Death and life, the same thing. Both are eternal. Both are stated in relation to God. You die to God, you live to God. You die before the Lord forever, you live before the Lord forever. One of those two. Both are of the soul. Both are spiritual. It's not a body thing. You don't leave the problems behind when we die if you don't know the Lord. Death from alienation is called perishing. It's the loss of our soul. The surgeon said one time that he, in all his operating that he'd done, he never found a soul. So he concluded there must not be one. How many of you have not seen the highway patrolman and just assumed there must not be one and ended up getting pulled over anyway? Those who believe in Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the contrast. Perishing or everlasting life. Perishing is an ongoing thing. Everlasting life is an ongoing thing. Physical death is separation of our soul from our body. Spiritual death is a separation of our soul from God. So in both cases, we need God to pay our way out of it, and we can't pay. We can't escape. Many times doctors have gone to patients and said, told them they were dying, that they had so long to live. And then they treated them how best they could, but they couldn't stop it from happening. Jesus tells us we're dying and how to fix it. Jesus tells us he has fixed it by his resurrection. Jesus tells us he has fixed it by the gospel. He tells us we're dying, so he tells us we have eternal life. That's what the contrast here. That's what Jesus said. You can die in your sin or you can have eternal life. And notice it says in the verse, in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ Jesus our Lord. What is that? The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It makes perfect sense if you're not going to go to heaven to live it up here. It's not wise because there is an afterlife, but it makes perfect sense in people's minds if they're not going to go to heaven and they're going to end up in hell to grab for all that they can here now. We're going to hell. Let's have a good time while we can. But Jesus makes that scenario unrequired. He's not only the savior from sin, but from stupidity. For people to have the answer to the disease of sin and the solution to gaining eternal life right in front of them, and to pass it by for the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses did not choose the passing pleasures of sin. Instead, he chose reproach of the people of God. It's not in religion. It doesn't say in religion we have eternal life. Religion is one of the biggest tricks of the devil to avoid godly sorrow. A lot of people feel bad about their lives. And so what do? They get a religion. And their religion tells them they're going to be okay. And so they have optimism, but it's unfounded. The default position of most religious people is unfounded optimism. Religion stokes and caresses their confidence, makes them feel good when they shouldn't. And they should feel bad and come to the Lord. Eternal life comes only in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a good way to put it. You could say through Christ Jesus our Lord. The Greek has in, epsilon nu. It is, in this case, like a location. You're in Christ. The Bible says believers are both in Christ and Christ is in us. It's a union. We're in the Lord is in us. It's not the same, like if you're in your car and you go somewhere, you're where the car is. But if the car goes somewhere and you stay home, your car, you're not in your car, you're not where the car is. You've got to be in Christ to go where he went. You got to be in Christ to go to the cross. You got to be in Christ to go to the tomb. You got to be in Christ to rise from the dead. You got to be in Christ to ascend to the Father. You got to be in Christ to have eternal life. Jesus doesn't give eternal life as a peripheral. He doesn't give it as a side issue. He changes our lives. He places us in him. The gospel teaching is you become one with Christ by faith in his death and resurrection. I've told you this a number of times. Faith is like placing your hands on Christ, and you take part of what Christ takes part in. He transfers his righteousness to us. We transfer our sins to him. He dies for our sin, pays for it, rises from the dead, victorious over the penalty of sin, so that if we're in Christ, our sin has been paid for, and we are alive. And the thing about this is, you're either in or out. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. You're either on the narrow road or you're on the broad road. You're in or you're out. We go somewhere when I was a kid. We'd all pile into the car. You know, my brother, sister, me. That's five in the car. My parents say, is everybody in? And there was no doubt about it. If my brother was half hanging out the window, he was not in. If a leg was out the window, that leg was not in. You got to be in the car. And so you're either in or out. If a vaccine for this virus comes and cures all of the virus, and even let's go further, something comes along that cures everything you have, every sickness you have, every bald head you got, takes care of everything. Would you take it? Would you take it? Would you run to where it was? Would you call as soon as you could to get an appointment with a doctor so he could prescribe it? Would you be vigilant? Would you be zealous? Could you rest before you got it? gospel. And why aren't people taking the gospel for a cure of a much greater disease? Why aren't people running toward the gospel? Why aren't people gripping the gospel for dear life? Because that's the disease. That's what the resurrection of our Lord Jesus fixes. The worst disease of mankind. And why aren't people grabbing it? We who have grabbed it are glad we did. It doesn't just give you eternal life. It changes your heart. It makes you a new person. It opens your eyes. Your foolishness is no longer there. I mean, we're growing, but our basic foolishness is gone. Why aren't people desirous of the gospel? The Bible explains it that we're dead in trespasses and sins. We're blind. Remember, Jesus healed blindness. We're deaf. Remember, Jesus healed deafness. We're dead. Jesus raised the dead. It shows us that what Jesus did physically proves that what he can do spiritually. This is what Easter, the resurrection of Christ, is. It's not, we always enjoyed getting together with family. That's a good thing. We enjoyed a nice Easter lunch, usually at our house. I didn't necessarily enjoy dressing up, like my mom had me dress up when I was a kid. But even that, you know, it wasn't about any of that. It's about whether you want to be resurrected from death or not, whether you want to be resurrected unto life, whether you want to have life instead of death. And if you want that, the only way that we're talking about is because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Without that, Paul is very explicit. We're still in our sins. You can wish it, but you can never have it. You can want to be in, but you're always out unless Jesus rose from the dead. But he did. He's risen indeed. Let's pray. Lord, it is foolishness on our part that we would have the supreme answer to our most chronic disease and leave it without taking it. We know, Lord, that no one can come to you except the Father who sent you draws him. We pray, Lord, you would draw people. Open eyes. Lord, it's to your glory more to save than to judge, you've told us. I pray, Lord, that we would, in this time of this virus, find hearts humbled and people seeking the Lord. Because, Lord, you are worthy of that. The gospel is a command. Lord, may many obey it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to unmute you yet. I'm going to play another song. Let me stop the recording. I'm thinking, let me see, hold on.